Good morning, everyone. Today's daf. We are Menachos, so we're going to be starting from the Mishnah. We are on Samech Ches, and based on today's daf is daf Samech Tes. Okay. We continue through our sixth parak of Menachos, and the topic has been very, very organized and very focused. We discussion of the Karban Omer. Karban Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. And the purpose of bringing the Karban Omer is that it's a matir. Although yesterday... Oh, wait, we still have a little bit of Gemara to finish up. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. I have a couple of lines of Gemara to finish up. The Omer is a matir, and it permits the consumption of new grains. Before second day of Pesach, all those grains that grew over the course of this year is considered chadash, let me say correctly, is considered chashan and chadash, and after the second day of Pesach comes along and we bring the Karban Omer, so then it becomes yashan and it becomes permissible. We have discussed yesterday machlokas, fundamental machlokas between Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. They question whether or not the Omer is really a matir. Is the Omer really a matir? Meaning, Rav and Shmuel say it is. Kipshuto, again, the simple pshat. Simple pshat of the psukim, simple pshat of the mishnayos, is that the Omer is a matir. But Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish do not give the simple pshat. They give an unconventional pshat, but they feel this way, that the Omer is not a matir, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to bring it, but it's not a matir, it doesn't actually permit. What actually permits? So what actually permits the sunrise? Right? Heyer ayom, once the day comes around, so then really all the grains that grew over the course of this year are really now permissible. Okay? The Gemara had a lot of questions on Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish based on the Psukim, based on the Mishnayos, based on the Takana of Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Okay, so but the Gemara defended Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, and it ends up being a machlokas. What exactly is the matir? Is the day the matir, or is the Karban Omer a matir? Okay, there are a couple of lines of Gemara that I need to finish up from yesterday, and it goes like this. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yehoshua. Now, before we start with these lines of Gemara, the problem is very simple. Problem is, no, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. But the issue is, what do we do in Bavel? Meaning in Bavel, right? We're also going to basically subscribe to this. We're not going to subscribe. I mean, we're here, right? There's a sister of Chadash. We don't eat Chadash, and we have to wait until Yashan. But we also experience what's called Sfeika Deyuma. We also are not sure which day of Pesach is, and because of that doubt, we don't know which day of Pesach is. So here's what we do: on the 15th day of Nisan, we celebrate Pesach. On the 16th day of Nisan, we celebrate Pesach. This is what we do nowadays. Now, nowadays we have a fixed calendar, but minag avasenav yadenu, right? That's the minag. The minag is to do 2 days, so we do 2 days. The Shulchan Aruch is, if you read the Shulchan Aruch when he talks about the second day of Yantav, he says, don't tamper with the second day of Yantav, don't play with the second day of Yantav. Shulchan Aruch says, anyone who wants to fiddle with the second day of Yontif will be excommunicated. He, in no light terms, does he talk about the tampering of second day of Yontif. You see all the people flying back and forth from first day to second day, there could be issues of tampering. But the so we say 16th day of Nisan, we can still like the first day as well. Okay, so that's Sfeika Deyuma. So now, here's the problem. Here's the issue. It's very straightforward. So now, in Eretz Yisrael, what's the matir? So without the Beis HaMikdash, everyone agrees it's the second day. Okay, do you have to wait till the end of the second day? So the answer is, yeah, you have to wait till the end of the second day. The reason why is because of the Takana of Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai says that Kol Hayom Hanef Aser. The entire second day is Aser. And we talked yesterday about why he made such a Takana. Shem Mehera Yibana Beis HaMikdash, we talked about that at the end of yesterday. See yesterday's daf for that discussion. Okay, now we're in Bavel. So, our second day of Pesach, we treat like the first day. So, it would make sense, think about it, because it really does make sense, that when would be the first opportunity to eat the new grains? You have to wait till the third day of Pesach. The third day of Pesach, they're going to be treating now like the second day, because of Sfeika Deyoma. And you have to wait till the end of the third day of Pesach, just like you'd have to wait in Eretz Yisrael for the end of the second day of Pesach. So in Bavel, just move everything ahead 1 day. That would seem to be the logical conclusion, but not all the Amorayim subscribe to the logical conclusion. So, an assortment of Amorayim, just 5 short lines of the Gemara, but various Amoraim, and what, when did they wait till? So Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yishuach, Lechadash, Be'orta, Deshitzar, Nagi Shivsar. So on the night following the 16th, the morning of the...
second.
The... Right,
the morning
of the third day, meaning they didn't wait. They didn't wait another day. Right, the end of the second day of Pesach, good. Let's enjoy our new grains, because they're not new anymore, they're old. Now, let's understand that, because they're in Bavel, and they subscribe to Sveka Diuma. And they treated that day, meaning what they call the 16th day of Nisan, they also, they observed Pesach that day. That was the first day of Yantar for them again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so what are they doing? So in terms of Chadash, Kasavri, so the Gemara gives the rationale. Kasavri, Chadash, Bechusar, it's the Rabbanon. Ulusfeika, Lo Chayshinan. Okay. Chadash outside of Eretz Yisrael is not Issa Daraisa, it's only in Issa de Rabbanon. So subscribes Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breda Rav Yoshua. So now it's a suffik on an Issa de Rabbanon. So a suffik on an Issa de Rabbanon will go Lakula. Okay, there are many, many side points over here, nuanced points over here. It's a suffik de Rabbanon, a davar sheyesh lo matirin, meaning it will be permitted if you just wait. So we're talking now on a davar sheyesh lo matirin, on a suffik de Rabbanon. So there's that to consider. Okay, there's a lot of these nuanced points, but kipshuto, just the simple pshat of the Gemara, without getting too involved, it's a suffik on a din de Rabbanon, so therefore, by the end of the first night, they ate. Rabbanon de bei Rav Ashi achlu b'tzafa de shivsar. So the Talmid HaChachamim of Rav Ashi ate on the morning of the 17th. It's kind of a pshara. It was kind of like a compromise. Meaning, they did wait a little bit past the 16th, but they didn't wait till the night of the 18th. The morning of the 17th, that's when they ate. Like kind of in the middle of where we expected everyone to go. Kasavri Chadash B'chutzar Star Raisa. Okay, and here's their thought process. They disagree fundamentally on the Isser. They feel that the Isser of Chadash, even outside of Eretz Yisrael, is an Isser D'Oraisa, not an Isser D'Rabbanan. Okay, so in other words, the Isser that we're talking about is a bona fide Isser D'Oraisa. And,
they didn't wait the whole day.
Why didn't they wait the whole day? Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai midrabbanan kamar v'chitakin liyom hanef l'sveika lo takin. So, and the institution, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, that you got to wait the whole day and you can't eat until the end of the day, that's only a din d'rabbanan. So they said like this: the issur d'oraisa, but the takana of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, unlike what we said at the end of yesterday's daf, is a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'oraisa. And that's really the simple pshat of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Which now leads to the conclusion that, look, I'll wait till the end of the second day, okay, which I know we treated here like the first day, because it's a din d'oraisa. But now, you want me to be machmir for the shita of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, but that's only a din d'rabbanan. I'm not going to go to that extreme, to that extent. I'll wait till tomorrow morning, and I'll eat on the morning of what they would call the third day of Pesach.
When they ate Chadash, were they making bread out of it?
Yeah. Not bread. Matzah.
Because we don't make matzah during Pesach.
Some people do, but we don't. You and I don't. Oh. Amar Ravina, there are people that do. Not many.
There are people that eat rice later.
Not many. The minug of the...
What's wrong with that?
The minug of the Maharil, right? You talk Ashkenaz for a moment. The minug of the Maharil. You know, there's a minug, well-established minug to make matzos on Erev Pesach. Right? It's been for years. To make matzah on Erev Pesach. The matzah shel mitzvah you make on Erev Pesach. Okay. What if Erev Pesach falls out on a Shabbos? So the minhag of the Maharil, which I know some people who follow it, but I don't recommend it. So when are you going to bake your matzahs?
Saturday.
They wait till Saturday night, and they make it on Yantav. Now,
wow.
it's a wild minhag. But okay, in other words, it's I guess the point is that you can make matzah on Yantav and on Chol HaMoed. So Amar Avina. So the Gemara finally concludes, and this is the halacha, like the final point, like the point that probably you expected us to be at, which is, look, the Isra of Chadash is an Isra Daraisa. And we in Bavel have this thing called Sveika Diyuma. So, in Eretz Yisrael, they wait till the end of the second day, because of the Tekana of Yochim and Zakkai. We in Bavel are going to wait till the end of the third day, period. Okay? So, the way the Gemara presents it is, Lo Hava Achol Chadash Ela Be'orta, Dishivsar Nage Tam Nesar. We would wait now to the night after the 17th, meaning the eve of the 18th, to sevel like Rav Yehuda, because we hold like Rav Yehuda, meaning because Rav Yehuda holds that the Isser is an Isser Daraisa, and Chayesh Lasveika, and they have Sveika Diyuma. So that is in fact the conclusion of the Gemara. So out here in Bavel, okay, we don't live in Bavel, but it's close enough, meaning it's the outside of Eretz Yisrael. So we can't eat the new grains until the evening of the third day of Pesach, meaning we have to wait till that extent. I know, Lamaisa.
Isn't there a banana derayta for us in here?
Like, well, we know. In other words, the whole idea of Sveika D'Yuma is only in the Rabbanan.
But it says of keeping Chadash and so on.
Chadash is an Isser. Okay.
Is it
outside of Eretz Yisrael, so the Gemara just presented a machlokas. We generally assume that's an Issa Daraisa.
Daraisa.
So right, why are we lax with the Issa of Chadash? It's its own cheer, meaning it's its own discussion. It's an important discussion to have, but it really is its own discussion. I don't want to take time now to discuss it. I'm more than happy to discuss it with you after cheer in terms of why it is you don't see a lot of people being so careful about Chadash and Yashan. But it's a bona fide Isser. I speak for the Ashkenazim. I don't know the history of the Sephardim and Chadash and Yashan, but the Ashkenazim already were lax in it going back for generations.
And Ramah said it is Sveik Sveika.
Correct.
The issue of who owns the land.
Correct. So correct.
One issue of being a
correct. Correct. You're with the program. It's there are a number of legal issues that already back to the time of the Rishonim try to deal with in terms of why we don't seem to concern ourselves with the issue. Okay. Mishnah. Okay, now we can begin the new Mishnah. Okay, there are two triggers. There is the Omer, which was what we've been talking about now from the beginning of the parak up until this very moment. The Omer is a trigger which is now allows all the grains to be eaten. All the grains up until the second day of Pesach, right? Either the carbon or the day, depending on whether you have or don't have the Beis HaMikdash. The second day of Pesach is the matir, what permits all the grains now to be eaten. It now makes it all yashan. That's vis-a-vis you and me. However, for the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash has its own matir. It has its own trigger. And the trigger in the Beis HaMikdash is the Shtei HaLechem that's brought on Shavuos. Which means that in the Beis HaMikdash, you can't bring for what would us be old grains, but you can't bring that to the Beis HaMikdash, because for the Beis HaMikdash, it's not till 50 days later, it's not till Shavuos, where you bring the Shtei HaLechem, and now all those grains that for us would be mutter for the Beis HaMikdash are still considered chadash.
Not even barley.
Nothing. Not even barley, not even wheat.
Barley
right.
Is already bought.
Right. I actually follow your point. I understand it, but still, Lagabe the Beis HaMikdash, there's a new matir, and that's the Shtei HaLechem. Okay. Now, Ein Mevin Mincha Menachos Ubikorm Uminchas Behema Kodem LaOmer. And really, you should not bring. Now, I'm careful about the words I select over here, because I said you should not bring. I didn't say you can't, because the Mishnah is going to make that point very clear. But you should not bring menachos, right? Any mincha, right? Which is flour and oil. Bikurim. Bikurim, of course, are your first fruits. And minchas behema, menachos of an animal, kodem la'omer, before the omer is brought. Meaning before the omer is brought. No, I'm sorry.
No, not the Omer.
No. I want to go back. I want to correct one of the words I just said. Not you shouldn't, you can't. Okay, I spoke too soon. Okay, I tried to select my words carefully and I didn't. Okay, now I'm going to go back and I'm going to do it again. Ein mevi'in menachos become menachos behema kodem la'omer im hevi pasal. You can't bring any of these things to the Beis HaMikdash prior to the Omer, and if you did so, it's possible it's disqualified. Right? Why? So the explanation is because it's Osir. In other words, we're not allowed to eat it. Now, if we're not allowed to eat it, the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach is certainly not allowed to eat it. Remember, one of the driving principles behind that which you can put up on the Mizbeach, it has to be Mimashka Yisrael. It has to be something we can eat. If we can't eat it, the Mizbeach for sure can't eat it. So if you offer a mincha using new grains, chadash, that for sure is no good. If you do so, it's disqualified. Kodem l'shtei halechem lo yavi. Now I'll say it. Now you shouldn't bring it before the shtei halechem is brought as well. Meaning it's after the omer. Right. And the grain is not new grains anymore. It's yashan. It's mutter. It's permissible grains. However, as we just learned in the Mishnah, the matir in the vis-a-vis the mizbeach is the shtei halechem, which is 50 days later. So, between Pesach and Shavuos, your grains that you're bringing for your menachos, your fruit that you're bringing for the Bikurim should not be from this year. However, im hevi kasher. But if you bring it, it would be kasher. Okay. Now, Yosef Rabbi Tarfon v'kakasher le'makorim la'omer l'korim shtei alechem. So, Rabbi Tarfon is perplexed by this. Now, by the way, just as a technical point, either you don't have to follow me over here, but it's just a little bit strange because the Gemara now is presenting a discussion amongst Tanayim, and the Gemara is not presenting it in the form of a Braisa. The Gemara is just kind of speaking it out. Like, and this is the way the Gemara normally talks about Amorayim. This Amora was sitting, and this Amora comes by, and I'm not following. This is a totally technical point. Either you're with me or not with me, but it doesn't matter. I'm just speaking out my mind, right? I don't understand how the Gemara here is speaking about Tanayim in a very like Gemara-esque way of speaking, but right, very informal and not citing a Braisa. So I don't know how this works, but okay, that's just a technical point. Yosef Rabbi Tarfon v'kakashle my kodem la'omer l'kodem shtei alechem. So Rabbi Tarfon was bothered by the following question. It's such a simple question. What's the difference? Meaning, we just established that we have two matirs. One matir being the Omer, and the other matir being the Shtei Alechem. They're two matirs. So I don't understand. If you bring from grains from before the Omer, it's disqualified. It's simply not an acceptable carbon. No good. So the same thing should be true for the Shtei Alechem. Meaning, if we're calling the Shtei Alechem a matir, if that's what it is, so then we should walk away with the same conclusion, which is that if I bring grains, even though those grains experience the Omer, but if they have not experienced the Shtei Alechem, meaning it's before Shavuos, it should be disqualified Lagabit Mizbech. I don't understand what the difference is. So Amar l'fanav Yehuda ben Nechemya, so along comes I guess we'll call him a Tana, it has to be, because he's contemporaries with Rabbi Tarfon. So along comes Yehuda ben Nechemya, and I've never heard of him, and based on the story, you'll understand why none of us heard of him. So, lo. So he says to Rabbi Tarfon, you don't see the difference? I see the difference. Meaning, after the Omer is brought, all the grains now are permissible for you and me. They're consumable. We're allowed to eat them. So yes, it's true that you have, for the mizbeach you have to wait for the shtei alechem, but at least they are mutter. There's a heter. There's a permission. There's permission to eat it. So I do see a difference between before the omer and after the omer. The issue is it's mutter for me and you. Okay, that's it. Plain and simple. Now, right? You have to really understand the give and the take over here, because the explanation given by Rabbi Yehuda ben Nechemya, I mean, quite honestly, I could have given that explanation. Meaning, it's not really that profound. His point is very simple. After the Omer, the grains are permissible. Yes, you have to wait until the Shtei Alechem, but be'etzem, it's permissible grain. Okay, so you really do have to try to work out a little bit more. There's more behind the give and take between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Nechemya ben Yehuda, but let's go on in the Gemara for now. Shasak Rabbi Tarfon. So now Rabbi Tarfon hears this and Rabbi Tarfon doesn't know how to answer. Because it is a very reasonable distinction. It's a good distinction. It's probably correct. And Rabbi Tarfon says, oh, okay, fine. I guess that's the difference. But he didn't say anything because he's quiet. Salvu panav shor Rabbi Yehuda ben Nechemya. Now Rabbi Yehuda ben Nechemya smiled. But smile over here is not a good way to say it.
Gloating.
Right, he was gloating. That's a very good way to say it. Right, he was gloating, meaning now Rabbi Tarfon asked a question and I gave an answer. My answer was correct, and And as we've discussed time and time throughout the Gemara, the whole point of debate, right, when it comes to Torah, is not to beat one another. This is not a debate team. This is just simply a strive for the truth. This is just simply a way at formulating what is correct, what is emes, right? What is that? What is truth? What is absolute truth? That's the whole purpose and pursuit of learning. And it's not debate, and it's not I'm better than you or I'm smarter than you. But Rabbi Nechemiah ben Yehuda seems like he didn't get it. And he smiled and he gloated. So Amar Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva steps in now. Rabbi Akiva, of course, is a contemporary. Yehuda tzavu panecha she shifted zakein. Really, that's your response? Right, that's you, that you gloat? Tameini im tarich yamim. Rabbi Akiva says, I can't imagine that you're going to have a richos yamim, that you're going to live a long life. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eli, also aperek prasa pesachaya. Now at that point in time, it was prasa pesach, it was 2 weeks before pesach. Pras means half of a month. So it was 2 weeks before pesach at that point in time when these questions were discussed. Well, by the way, as far as the timetable is concerned, it makes perfect sense because it's 2 weeks before pesach and they're talking about, you know, oh, the Omer is coming up and the Shtei Alechem is coming up, and I, right, then it's the right time to talk about it. And Rabbi Akiva says, I bet you he's just not going to live a long life. Kishalisa Latzeris, and then when it comes to Shavuos, Sha'alti Acharav, Yehuda ben Nechemiah Heichanhu, and then Shavuos, right, just a short couple months later, and I asked, where's Rabbi Yehuda ben Nechemiah? V'amru lo, Niftar. And the answer was he died. He passed away. Okay. So terrible ending to the story. Almost like a curse. So but
so he really must have been gloating, because sometimes Tzavu Panav,
I know, you have to read it in context, meaning in the context of the story, Tzavu Panav certainly means right, he really benefited from besting Rabbi Tarfon.
Sometimes that's Sabubana when Amora hears an answer that he wants.
Right, correct. Agreed.
Just happy.
So the
Mida Keneged Mida
for this is because he embarrassed
Yeah, in other words, he showed a lack of kavod to a Talmud Chacham, and not just a Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon was one of the leaders of the generation, and he showed a lack of kavod, and year of Tamidei Chachamim, right? The Torah doesn't the Torah promise Arichos Yamim? Certainly for Akiva Ava'ein, the Torah promises Arichos Yamim. That's for sure. You know, and if that's true for Akiva Ava'ein, it's sure, certainly true for a covered rabbi.
This was a prevalent epidemic because Rabbi Akiva's students also died from the same kind of epidemic.
Okay, right. And Rabbi Akiva, and this is only speculation, we don't know has happened before or after the students died. But Rabbi Akiva also saw what happens when you don't give kavod one to another, and Rabbi Akiva, that's right, that Danny might, that might have prompted Rabbi Akiva to say, I've been here before. I know what happens when you don't give kavod zelazem. Okay, but I don't know. That's a little bit of speculation on my part to say when the story occurred.
Right. Yeah, the story of Lag BaOmer.
Right. Was it the story of 24,000?
Lag BaOmer.
Yes, that's correct. That was with Rabbi Akiva.
Right.
Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak L'Divrei Yehuda Ben Nechemiah Nesachim. I'm sorry. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak L'Divrei of Yehuda Ben Nechemiah. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda Ben Nechemiah, meaning, in terms of Midos, right, he had a lot to work on. He didn't. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't give him. He didn't have a lot of time to work on it. So in terms of his mido, so he's got what to work on. But in terms of his svara is very good, meaning the svara is right. The fact is that after the carbon omer is brought, so now it's mutter for me and you. So I'll bring it up onto the mizbech. I shouldn't, because we should wait for the shtei alechem. But if you bring it up at the evidence, it's going to be fine. According to Rav Yehuda ben Nechemiah, Nisachim Bikurim Sheikruvim Kodim LaOmer Ksheirim, that if I bring Bikurim before the Omer, okay, right here, listen carefully, not before Shavuos, but before the Omer, if I bring Bikurim before the Omer, it's kosher, because it's fruit, right? In other words, when it comes to the Omer, Omer is a matir for grains, for wheat, for barley, for spelt, for rye, for oats. For grains, it's a matir. But it's not a matir for fruit. Fruit is mutter even beforehand. So if I bring Bikurim before the Omer, It's going to be kosher. Why? Because we're going to use the svara of Rav Yehuda ben Nechemya. Mm-hmm. It's mutter for me and you. Yes, we should wait. Yes, there's an inyan to wait till the shtei halachim is brought. But legabe b'di'evit, as far as the din of, is it acceptable? B'di'evit, yes. Ksherim pshita, the Gemara says, now, isn't that point obvious? So the Gemara says, maybe not. Now, because when it comes to the grains and the omer, at least you had a matir of the omer. But over here, when it comes to the fruits, there was no matir by the fruit. Meaning, you may have made an argument, you could create an argument, that for the fruit, you must wait for the shtei alechem, and since nothing before the shtei alechem was matir it, so therefore the shtei alechem is an absolute, meaning you absolutely have to wait for the shtei alechem. Kamashwan, the chiddush is, no, you don't. Meaning, you should wait for the shtei alechem, that's appropriate, it's a mitzvah to wait for the shtei alechem, but if you bring the bikurim before Shavuos, it's acceptable. Kol shekein hacha delo itzer klal. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Three questions that are asked by Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama is a resident questioner, right? Right. Throughout Shas, we have noted, I've noted a couple of times already, that Rami Bar Chama is the one who inquires. Not often does he, I don't know about often, that would indicate that I really know the numbers, right? There doesn't always seem to be an answer to his question. That was very, you know, legally worded. Disclaimer, I don't know. But he asks a lot of questions, and they are thought-provoking questions. The first one's going to be a little bit complicated. We'll navigate. Okay. Now, in order to bring grains onto the Mizbeach, so you need really a combination. You need an Omer and you need a Shtei Alechem. Now, in the normal agricultural way that things go, we plant in the rainy season. The rainy season means the winter, right? And we things grow in the spring, okay? And we harvest right around springtime. Okay, I told you grain is about a six month process, approximately. Okay, that's normally how things happen in Eretz Yisrael. So, under normal circumstances, what's going to happen is that grains will first experience the Omer, right? The wheat harvest, the barley harvest will normally experience the Omer, followed then 50 days later by Shavuos. And in order for grains to be brought onto the Mizbeach, it needs the combination of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. Okay. Now, let's make this point clear because I said it yesterday, but I just want to make sure everyone's on the same page. When we say grains of this year, what does that mean, grains of this year? Does that mean you have to actually harvest it? No. Grains of this year means it has to have taken root. Putting a seed in the ground is not in of itself, it's nothing. Meaning it has to have taken root. Now, you are looking from the surface, you don't 100% know if it takes root or not. Once you just dig it up a little bit, you take a look, you'll see roots are going into the soil. So that's what we call hashrasha. Hashrasha is the point now where now we assign it to this year when it comes to grains. Okay? Good. That is, generally speaking, the process. What Rami Bar Chama wants to know is as follows. Look, let's just look at the two significant moments of a grain. The Omer and the Shtei Alechem. Okay. What if I reverse the order? What if I went Shtei Alechem and Omer? Okay, now that's going to be a neat trick in terms of how to do that. Okay, but forget the how-to for just a moment. Just let's take a look at it from a strictly analytical standpoint. Meaning, there are two matirin in order for something to be brought up onto the Mizbeach, the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. And what Rami Bar Chama just wants to know is, does it have to be specifically in that order? Does it have to be Omer and Shtei Alechem? How about if I go Shtei Alechem and Omer? Okay, now the how-to. Okay, this is going to be neat. We'll plant in Iyar. Okay, we are currently in the month of Iyar. Okay, we'll plant. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
12th of Iyar.
Okay, the 12th of Iyar today. Baruch Hashem. So, huh? 13th of Iyar. Pesach Sheni is coming up. Okay, that's. Yeah. Wait a second. Pesach Sheni is
tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. We're also
tonight.
So that would support that your thesis that today is the 13th day of the year. Okay. Okay, so we'll plant grains in Iyar. Okay? And now Shavuos will come along and we'll assume that it has experienced Hashrasha. It will take root by Shavuos. Okay? Sometime over the course of this year, between now and next year, we'll harvest it. And then it'll experience the Omer of next year. So good. So now it experienced the Shtei Alechem and the Omer, but just in the reverse order. So Rami Bar Chama says, is that enough? Certainly it's going to be enough for you and I to eat it. That's not Rami Bar Chama's question. Rami Bar Chama's question is, can I bring it up onto the Mizbeach? What do you mean, can I bring it up onto the Mizbeach? I need the Shtei Alechem. Yeah, but in this case, it experienced the Shtei Alechem, albeit last year. So the Gemara spells it out. I gave the scenario only because I prepared. So you planted it between the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, the Chalef Alayu Shtei Alechem, and now the Shtei Alechem passes over it, the Omer. So my Kisijan Shayan, Shalok Kisijan Lo Shayan, Odim Lo Kisijan Nami Shayan. And now the question is a very simple question. I mean, it's not simple, but after spelling out all the details, now I want to know, are they just simply two critical points, and this grain has hit the two critical points, or no? It's two critical points, followed by specific order of Omer, then followed by Shtei Alechem. Amar Rabba Tashma. So Rabba says, how about this? Let's try to deduce it using the following proof. Okay, now this is going to be the most complex part of today's daf. Okay, I'll try to do this quickly and clearly. And I'm not sure if I'll meet any success, but we'll try. I already told you that the second perek of Vayikra deals with the menachos that are voluntary. By the end of the second perek, the Torah alludes to the minchas omer. The pasuk says, perek beis pasuk gedal, the in takriv minchas bikurim la'ashem aviv kalui ba'ish geres karmel, takriv eis minchas bikurecha. You're going to bring the first grains. Now, we know, I quoted Rashi and Chumash already, and it's not just Rashi, it's the Gemara, it's the Sifra. Everyone, all point to the fact that this is talking about the Omer. However, there's one thing that is not mentioned in these Pesukim. Which grain do you bring? Now, we all know the Omer is brought from barley. But it doesn't say so over here. It simply says, "Im takriv minchas bikurim laHashem aviv kalui ba'esh geres karmel." There is no indication in the pasuk that we're talking about barley. Look at the brisa, Tana Rabbanan. Tashma, sorry, Tashma. Im takriv minchas bikurim ben minchas hamakasa medaber mehechem ba minasaorim. So the brisa makes an assertion. It's talking about barley. The Gemara says, okay, how do you know? How do you know we're talking about barley? Maybe we're talking about wheat. Rabbi Eliezer says, this is not the first time we have the word aviv. We have it in Egypt. We have the word aviv mentioned. Okay, I need a bal kore over here. Huh? That's what I thought. But that doesn't say barley. Meaning that just says Pesach is in the Chodesh HaAviv. Okay, if I had one of my Balkaris in the room right now, end of Parshas Va'era, v'ha'pishta v'ha'sa'ora nukasa ki ha'sa'ora aviv. End of Parshas Va'era, Perek Tes Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Right, the barley. The barley was hit by the barad. It was hit by the hail. Right. Why? Because the barley comes out first. Barley is an early crop. Barley got hit. However, the next pasuk says, but when it comes to the wheat, and when it comes to the spelt?
Yeah.
Lo nuku ki afilos heina. Because they're late bloomers. So they got saved from the hail. Only to get hit by the locusts. Okay. All right. So that's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says we're talking about barley. because I make word association. I guess we can call it Gzer Shava. I don't know if the word Gzer Shava is the right word to use over here. I don't know if he's really employing Gzer Shava. But still, it says by Pesach Aviv, and that's talking about barley, Af Aviv, Amor Ladara, Saorin. So too, in Perek Beis, it's talking about Aviv, and that's barley. Good. That's the proof of Rabbi Eliezer. That's easy. Rabbi Akiva Omer Matzino Yachi Shemevi Chavatam Menachitim Vechavatam Menasaorin Vitzibur Shemevi Chavatam Menachitim Mevi Chavatam Menasaorin. Rabbi Akiva says, "Look, I'm going to make two arguments. Argument number one of Rabbi Akiva, we're going to draw a parallel between the community versus the individual. Now, on an individual level, a mincha is brought from wheat, and a mincha is also brought from barley, albeit one time, albeit by a sota." But still, there's a barley offering brought by an individual. So I'm going to say the same thing's got to be true by the community. How does he know that it has to be a parallel? I'm not sure. But there has to be something to say, right? The same thing goes by the community. If the armor doesn't come from barley, so what does? Nothing. And it can't be, says Rabbi Akiva, because there's got to be a parallel. If wheat and barley come from the individual, wheat and barley got to come from the community. Okay, that's one argument of Rabbi Akiva. And then maybe if you want to take it to its logical course, maybe you have to draw some sort of parallel between the Omer and the Sota. Although I don't know how that's going to work out.
I heard a drush on that.
Oh, yeah?
You said that, you know, the Sota brings barley because she was, like, surrendering herself to her animalistic tendencies.
Right.
And then when Jews left Egypt, they hadn't reached a higher madriga. They were still at the lower level of an animal, so they were very early in the beginning, and then 50 days later, you go.
I know, I knew there's room for drasha over there, but that's very nice. I have not heard that. Okay, davar acher. Imata omer ba minachitim. Okay. And this is argument number two, Rabbi Kiva, and this is where the money's at. Okay, this is what the whole reason why we brought this whole brice in here is for the second argument of Rabbi Akiva. Now listen carefully, because this is it. This is going to get a little complicated. Rabbi Akiva's second argument is, I know that the Omer has to come from barley. Because let's imagine for just a moment that it comes from wheat. Right? Let's imagine. It's going to be then the most awkward thing. Because the Omer comes from wheat, and then the Shtei Alechem is going to come from wheat. But the Shtei Alechem has to be Bikurim. Right. It has to be first grains. The whole day of the Shavuos is called Bikurim. So how can you bring wheat on the Omer on the second day of Pesach and have that come from wheat, and then 50 days later bring your Bikurim, your first
for wheat,
but that's not going to be your first. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva's second argument is, have the Omer come from barley, so it'll be a first for barley, and then have the on Shavuos have the Shtei Alechem come from wheat, and that will be a first as well. Okay, that's the second argument of Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara says, now let's think it through even more. Let's go back to Rami Bar Chama's question. Rami Bar Chama was entertaining the idea that you can have grains that go Omer Shtei Alechem, and you can have grains that go the other way around, Shtei Alechem Omer. So now the Gemara says, why don't we do this? Right? Why don't we, for Pesach, for Omer, why don't we bring new grains, which go first through Shtei Alechem, and then the Omer? And then, for Shavuos, have grains go first through the Omer, and then the Shtei Alechem. Right? So in other words, it'll all be wheat, and it'll both be Bikurim. It just will be a question of the order of how it got there. Okay. Think about it.
Does Omer have to be Bikurim also?
Huh?
Does Omer have to be Bikurim?
Well, does it have to be from new...
Like a Yashan?
Yeah. I hear your question. I hear it.
You bring Yashan from last year's wheat, and then bring...
Right. Chodesh. Oh, that's excellent. That's okay. I don't know. All right, let's start off there. I don't know. That's an excellent question. The Im Isa.
Isn't Bikurim something but Mayatzmai? So I think what Ben is asking is...
Right. Okay. The Im Isa. Gemara is now going to articulate exactly this question. So the Gemara says, can't now we concoct a case where we're going to have both being wheat and both being first? Right? How so? The Omer will bring from grains that first went through Shtei Alechem and then went through Omer. And for the Bikurim, will bring grains that went through the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. And bingo! And we're going to have both of them being wheat and both of them being quote unquote new. So the Gemara says, so why didn't we argue that? Why didn't Rabbi Akiva argue that? So the Gemara now is asserting, because it doesn't work. Because in order for something to be mutter for the Mizbeach, it's got to go specifically in the order of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. So this would be a proof as to Rami Bar Chama's question. He wanted to know, does it have to be Omer Shtei Alechem, or could it be even Shtei Alechem Omer? From the fact that Rabbi Akiva doesn't use this as a suggestion of bringing wheat for both the Omer and for the Shtei Alechem, and just having them start at different points of the year, so it would indicate that it has to go specifically Omer Shtei Alechem. Let's just finish up. Misvara, so the Gemara's response is no, because your whole question is based on a false assumption. Misvara's bikurim lepeira ka'amrinan, lemizbeach ka'amrinan. You're looking at it from the wrong perspective. Right. You're looking at it from the point of the fruit itself. Meaning, fruit over here just simply means grain. You're starting off with the assertion that, well, vis-a-vis the fruit, it's new. Right. That's the wrong perspective to start from. You got to look at it from the perspective of the Mizbeach. Meaning, vis-a-vis the Mizbeach, it's got to be new. It's got to be fresh. It's got to be Bikurim. So from the Mizbeach's perspective, yeah, you're right as a technicality. It went through the Shtei Alechem of last year, but when all said and done, it's got to be new fruit of this year. By the way, this answers your question that you asked me just a couple minutes ago. Meaning, it's got to be new. It's got to be new for this year. Not from the fruit's perspective, but from the year's perspective, from the Mizbeach's perspective. Okay. Okay. So that's question number one. So again, we try to draw a proof from a brisa, we do not have a proof. Question on the table was, when we say that the Omer and the Shtei Alechem are matir for the Mizbeach, does it have to be specifically in the order of Omer Shtei Alechem, or could it be even Shtei Alechem Omer? Seems like the Gemara does not resolve that question. Question number two, there are three of them for today. Bani Rami Bar Chama, Shtei Alechem Hanatza Sharya O Chanatza Sharya. Now, for the Shtei Alechem, we said that you gotta bring you got to wait for all your fruits. You're going to bring your fruits or your wine onto the Mizbeach. You got to wait to the Shtei Alechem. Now, for fruit and for grapes, at what point in its development is it assigned to this year as opposed to last year? Meaning, what is going to be the maturation point of the fruit? Okay. Now, is it Hanatza or Chanata? Now Rashi over here is helpful but not specific. Rashi says that these are talking about early developmental stages of the fruit. Now a number of you grow fruit in your backyard, so you understand a little bit, but I don't have we tried. We failed. But you understand that there's a certain budding process of the fruit, and there are terms that the Gemara uses here to describe the early stages of development. The Gemara calls it Hanatza and Chanata. Nates is like a spark, right? When you first start seeing the fruit, Chanata is a further stage beyond that. Rashi just simply says it's one stage after the next. Rashi writes, Sheinitzu kodam lahem o Chanata sharin Chanata havi pere yoser mehanatza. Okay, so I don't have a lot to go with in terms of the Rashi, in terms of helping.
The Rashi also said that when the flower falls, mm-hmm, that's Hanatza, and when the fruit starts to come out very small, that's
Chanata. Okay, fine. Okay, yeah. Okay, so my Hanatza or my Chanata, Ilay Hanatza deper vechanata deper hashtad hashrash hasharya Hanatza vechanata mi baye. So the Gemara says, look, we're not even talking about the fruit itself, because When it comes to the grain, significant moment, as I explained to you, was Hashrasha. Hashrasha is just taking root in the ground. That's a very early stage of development. That's a stage of development where it hasn't even come up from the ground yet. So we're not talking about the fruit. Ella hanatsa de ale vechanata de ale. We're talking about already the budding of the leaves, which again, if you grow trees, you'd understand this better than I do. So mihavi ki hashrasha olo, and the Gemara wants to know now: is the budding of the leaves, does that in the world of trees equate to the rooting, the taking root of the grain, teku? And he doesn't know. Meaning, I don't know exactly. This is basically Rabbi Barham's question: at what point do we say the tree, not the fruit, because here it's not really a function of the fruit? When does the tree get the status of
taking root?
Okay, that's question number two. Okay, again, that question is left unanswered. Third question. By Rava Bar Rav Chanan. Okay, we're taking a break from Rami Bar Chama. I think we're going to come back to him later. Maybe? Okay, yes. Yes, we'll come back to him later on. Okay, but I believe this will probably be our last question of the day. By Rava Bar Rav Chanan. Chitin Shazar Bakarka, Omer Matiran, O Ain Omer Matiran. You have a wheat kernel. Okay, sometimes you eat it, sometimes you plant it back in the ground, and so it creates the next generation. Okay, so it's a wheat kernel. So what you did is you took the wheat kernel and you put it in the ground right before the Omer. It's right before the second day of Pesach. A week before the second day of Pesach. But not enough time for it to have taken root. Okay, now, look carefully. Here I have my cup of coffee. If I took my wheat kernel and I put it in the cup, I even put a lid on it, and the Omer came and went, does that wheat kernel become mutter? Of course it does. I mean, just because I put it in the cup doesn't mean now it's insulated from the Omer. The Omer is a date on the calendar, right, and once the Omer comes and goes, the wheat becomes mutter. So the question over here is, instead of putting it in the cup, I store it in the ground. Right. So now that I'm storing it in the ground, there's two ways to view it. The ground just simply is no different than my cup.
Container.
It's a container. It's holding the grain. Or the ground is fundamentally different. The ground is not just a container. It's an incubator. It's going to basically take the grain and turn it into a new stalk if I just give it enough time. So, or I'll just put the question, it's the same. Right, right. It does the ground. Is the ground mevatel the grain? Does the ground now basically take the grain, have it lose its identity as a grain, as an edible grain, and now simply make it part of the ground? Brilliant question. And this question, is right, does it go through a legal status change? And this question affects so many halachas. And we're going to see a bunch of them right now. Quickly, I'll just rattle off the halachas that we're going to talk about. The permissibility of eating the grain when the Omer comes and goes. The halacha of ona'a, overcharging. There's no ona'a by real estate, right? When you sell, buy and sell real estate, right? There's no ona'a. There's no isser of ona'a. Okay? So if the grain is now part of the ground, the grain will be impervious to the laws of ona'a. A third practical application would be shvua. If we have challenges, if we have atoin v'nitan, if we have a disagreement vis-a-vis land, one witness comes along and testifies, a moda hodah b'miksas, a partial admission by land, there's no shvua by land. What if we have these issues over grain in the ground? Does it have the status of land and will affect the halachas of shvua? Okay, so one question with a lot of practical applications. It's a brilliant question. Why Rava Barav Khan and Khitin Shazar Bakarka Ome Matir no Aino Ome Matir and Hechidami? Ide Shrish Tanina, Ide Lo Ishrish Tanina. So the Gemara says, did it experience Ashrash yet or not yet? Did none, because we learned in the Mishnah. We will learn in the Mishnah coming up. Yimishisha Karma Omer Omer Matir, Vim Lava Sur, and Achiavi Omer Habam. Lotricha Dechadzdinu Vizarinu Kodem La Omer. Okay, so the Gemara says, what you did is that you harvested it, and then you put it into the ground right before the Omer. The Asa Omer v'chalaf alayu, now the Omer comes and goes. The Kami Bayalei, Maul and Kute Umecha Minayu. So the Gemara wants to know now, can I go into the ground, much like I would just go into my cup, can I go into the ground, pick it up now and eat it? Is it, the Gemara here articulates the question, keman deshaje bekada damya? Is it no different than just putting in the cup? Visharinu omer, and the omer would obviously now permit it. Odilma batalu lagabe ara, or does it now become part and parcel? And here I use the expression as literally as possible, part and parcel of the land. Lagabe ara, yeshla. Okay, so that's point number one. Point number two, yeshla mona'a, ain la mona'a. Is there a din of ona'a by these grains? Now, hey chidami. Now, the Gemara just sharpens the case. What exactly is the case? The lema damalu shari be shisa vasuzah devarmele shada be elachamisha. Well, look. If the issue is here, I'm going to sell you the grains. Now, I put the grains in the ground. I sold you six kabin, and witnesses come along and say, no, he didn't sell. He didn't put six in the ground. He put five in the ground. That's not ona'a. Ona'a is when we're disputing the value of something. Not when we're disputing the amount of something.
Is that a megachtot?
It's exactly what it is. Right? But it's not subject to ona. Ahama rava kol davar shebemido v'shemishkol shebeminyan afil pachos mechde ona chozer. Whenever the dispute is about the amount, not about the value, but about the amount, that's not subject to ona. That is a megachtot. Ela damar lei shadalei kedabai lei v'asusah davar lei delo shadabei kedabai lei. So here, I tell you, I put into the ground maximum capacity, but I don't say a number. And then witnesses come along and say, no, he didn't put in maximum capacity. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now it's not an argue about amount. It's an argue about whether I didn't give a number. And the witnesses are not contesting an actual number. So now this is subject to ona'a. Yeshlam ona'a dechaman deshad debekad dedami yeshlam ona'a. So do we look at the ground as it's just simply a container? So in other words, the kernels of grain are considered movable items, subject to the laws of ona. A third practical application, shvua. Again, if we have a dispute over land, and a witness comes along, or your moda b'miktsas, you don't make a shvua. What about the grains in the land? Do they have the status of land, impervious to shvua, or no? Is the land considered just a container? Teku, the Gemara says, we leave this question unresolved. Okay, so far, questions we dealt with this morning. The Omer and the Shtei Alechem are matirin. The Shtei Alechem permits grains and fruits to be brought up onto the Mizbeach. Does it have to, Rami Bar Chama's first question, does it have to be in the order of Omer, Shtei Alechem, or can it go Shtei Alechem, Omer? Gemara kind of leaves that question unresolved. Second question, when we talk about fruit being brought on the Mizbech after the Shtei Alechem, at what point is the tree considered developed? Not the fruit, the tree itself. The Hanata and Hanata of the leaves, the Gemara leaves that question unresolved. Third question, grains that are put back into the ground after they're ripened, after they're developed, and then the Omer comes and goes. Is the grains considered part of the ground, or is the ground just simply considered a container for the grains? That question is left unresolved as well. We deal questions that come up tomorrow morning. First questions tomorrow morning, you'll love them. There are exciting questions. Today's questions also were excellent. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, pick it up from the Gemara.